the headquarters on Manhattan's West Side. Though Eisner's talks with Dan Burke a few years earlier had gone nowhere, Murphy was starting to feel some pressure from the consolidation going on in the broadcasting industry. Murdoch's News Corporation was the first to combine its Fox studio and the Fox network under the same corporate umbrella, and Murphy worried the other networks would end up aligning with Hollywood studios now that the FinCEN restrictions had been abolished. This was a subject Murphy had often discussed with Warren Buffett, whose Berkshire Hathaway was Cap City's largest shareholder, and with Robert Iger, ABC's president and chief operating officer. Neither Murphy nor Buffett really wanted to sell ABC, but they recognized that at the right price they'd have to consider it in the interests of their shareholders. But after the dinner, Murphy reported to Iger that Michael is cheap. There's no way he'll ever pay a price that we'd want. Herb Allen's annual media conference in Sun Valley was scheduled for July, and Eisner was absolutely determined to be there, both to pursue the usual networking opportunities among the nation's media elite, and to prove to this rarefied audience that he was back, he was healthy, and that he was as much a player as ever, even more so. After his medical crisis of the year before, it was like climbing back up on a horse after a bad fall, as he put it. The day he was scheduled to leave for the conference, Eisner convened a lunch for the strategic planning group. Larry Murphy and his assistants, Peter Murphy, no relation, and Tom Staggs, joined by Litvak and Bolenbach, to discuss progress on the acquisitions front. Eisner would soon be mingling with every major chief executive and dealmaker, so he wanted to be prepared. Peter Murphy outlined the case for a network, pointing out that he'd been pushing for Disney to buy one for 7 years. CBS was a turnaround candidate, but was expensive at the approximately $80 per share Larry Tisch was asking. Cap City's ABC was already the leading network, so there was less upside potential. Cap City's was a much bigger company with extensive cable assets. Its stock was trading at $105 a share, which, after factoring in a premium of 15% to 20%, meant Cap City's would cost Disney about $20 billion. Tom Staggs stressed the advantages of the bigger deal, especially gaining the 80% of ESPN, the cable sports network that Cap City's owned. Litvak hedged, saying he liked ABC, but could also see the case for CBS. "I still like CBS," Eisner said. "It doesn't cost as much, and I think we can fix it." Bolenbach pressed emphatically for the bigger deal, noting that it solved the issue of how to deploy Disney's enormous cash flow by taking on more debt. "To me, the issue is simple. Either we buy a relatively little house and overpay for it, or we go after this big mansion and get a bargain." Bolenbach had already proposed a bigger mansion, Time Warner. Time Warner offered Disney a fully integrated media conglomerate, with creative divisions like the Warner Studio, cable networks, CNN and home box office, and publishing that competed directly with Disney, but also distribution capacity through its huge Time Warner cable operation. "It's big. It has great assets, and we could buy it cheaply, because the stock is undervalued," Bolenbach argued. Nothing could have better illuminated the fundamental differences between Bolenbach and the cautious Larry Murphy than this admittedly audacious proposal.